Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
Here's our first episode of 2021, and I cannot think of a better way to start off this year than to have my friend, I hope I can say friend legend.
Of course you can, bro.
But yeah, just want to start off this year great, and legend is a lot of things. He's a hip-hop artist. He's a spoken word. He works with human trafficking and shelters. The one thing he is not is he's not Legion. No matter how many times people mispronounce that, he is not
Legion. There's no O, bro. There's literally no O, but thank you.
Man, you were so many things. I don't want to tag that on there, but we were talking not long ago that that's your new mixtape coming out is hashtag We Are Many. Not down that direction, but...
Right. I mean, if you're going to call me Legion, I might as well capitalize off of it, I guess. Yeah, dig it. So,
I guess we could say we are many, just not that direction, but maybe, right. maybe we can right. shift that a little bit.
I mean, we'll see.
That's Legion. This is Legend. We're many over here.
I mean, ever since I Am Legend came out, it was like, yo, your new mixtape should be called. I was like, stop. Don't do it. It's not a bad idea, but I'm like, I just can't do it. But
I'm so glad that about this time, well, about 11 months ago, before everything shut down and everything got crazy, finally got mm-hmm. to meet you in person at the We Love Awards last year, mm-hmm. which it's crazy that that's coming right around the corner again as we're talking.
Crazy, bro.
Unfortunately, we won't get to hang out there again this time. Mm-hmm. But one of the stories that I will tell, and I will tell it this way until I can't tell it anymore, that we were hanging out, we had lunch, and you were hanging out for all the podcasts that we did, the podcast conversation that we had right before mm-hmm. that. And you were there for the first one, which was Attaboy. And then you're mm-hmm. like, yep, nope, I'm done. I've heard enough. I'm out. See you later. I've had enough of this.
I had a good time, though. We're still in touch today. I talk with them on the regular. They're really cool folks.
They're really cool.
But every once in a while, not on the regular, but those, I just really enjoyed meeting them. So thank you for that. You hooked that up.
Apparently, you didn't like anybody else that was there. I mean, we had Seventh Time Down. We had the Cashmans.
No other artists. You know? I didn't like anybody. Nope. No. Just Attaboy.
So the way you tell it is that you heard the word that you needed for the day, and you must have left to ponder or something. I'm not sure what happened after that, but...
I went to the top of the building to meditate in silence, and I had to leave. That's what happened.
I'm still telling my side of the story that you just had enough and you're done with us, but...
Whatever works.
I thought I had a wingman for the afternoon, but no.
You did not. Even that. That was the plan. I was like, all right, I'm out.
What the heck is up with this? Let's go.
You know, I finished my Chick-fil-A and I took off, but whatever we ate.
I don't even remember now.
I'm drinking from a Chick-fil-A cup, something about it.
So I'm really happy to have you back. You are our second... Well, you are our guest host the first time, so... You're the first guest host that's turned into a guest on the podcast. So I think we can bestow that honor upon you. It doesn't come with a trophy. It doesn't come with anything other than that little introduction right there. But there we have it.
There we have it.
Refresh us a little bit. We talked when you were the guest host about some of the human trafficking and some of the sheltering things that you do, aside from the artistry and all that. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that and what that's looked like the last 9-10 months as everything else has gone crazy.
Sure. So I'm the founder of Safe House Project and I'm on the board. One of the founders of Safe House Project. We're focusing on sustaining safe houses and bringing more beds to the national landscape and bringing awareness and education to what's going on with trafficking in America. It started on a mission trip in South Africa and endeavoring to build a home with an orphanage, orphan care center we partner with over there. And during the stages of doing that, the question became, how can we replicate that in the States with some 300,000 kids a year here? So we've been able to do a lot of great work, make a lot of great partnerships. We're educating the various industries, military, the corporations about what trafficking actually is in an attempt to shut it down in America by 2030. And one of the reasons we're focused on safe houses is because when victims of trafficking kids escape, they don't have anywhere to go. And 80% of them will return back to their traffickers. So we're trying to create a safe space for kids to be able to heal and live full productive lives and get out of that while making the public aware of what it is so that we can shut it down altogether.
What does that look like through this whole crazy pandemic? And I mean, everything's has been weird and with different health codes and all the different stuff. What does that look like as far as these safe houses and what we've seen there?
I mean, what the reality is, like, because of the pandemic, a lot of kids lost their safe spaces, which was going to school and getting away sometimes from their bad situation. So the rise of reporting went up and all types of situations like that went up and happened. And we were able to see the need for education. We developed a free online training called On Watch. If you go to iamonwatch.org, you'll find it. Safehouseproject.org/onwatch. You'll find it. And it's a free training to educate people on what's actually going on in the homes. I mean, everybody's taking the same precautions that they have to take everywhere else to make sure everybody stays safe. So it's consistent across the board, you know, keeping yourself safe. But, you know, for somebody that's actually in a home, they've found a safe place. They have somewhere to go. And we're really grateful for that.
Yeah, that's incredible that you guys were still able to do that in the midst all the crazy and stuff was shut down. And it's awesome that that wasn't shut down in the whole process.
No, we have several partners across the states and everybody has to take their own precautions based on what's going on in their state and then just common sense. So we partner and support them as you would any sort of transitional housing or home or rehabilitative place. We resource them to take care of victims of trafficking, whether that's financial or some education or something else, or just connecting the dots or even finding somebody that needs to get from point A to point B and getting them to an actual home. Sometimes we're putting the word out, like we've got a mom and a kid, we got to get somewhere, and people donate and we get them on the flight and get them moved. So we do whatever we can do to make sure people get where they need to be safe.
Man, that's incredible.
Thank you.
Speaking of pandemic and, you know, a lot of this, one of the major reasons why I wanted to have you on our first podcast of 2021 is, I mean, there's no getting around that last year was just a massive dumpster fire for so many different things. I mean, we were consistently bombarded with everything from the pandemic to, you know, the racial tensions to politics and murder hornets. I mean, they were there for a minute. I don't know where they went, but that never materialized. But I mean, just so much heavy happened in 2020 that we just can't get around.
And sure.
One of the things that came out last year, you had one mixtape and a few singles, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lost track. And one of the pushes that you had was a unity rally in Virginia. Was it Richmond or
Norfolk?
Norfolk. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Even though everything was kind of shutting down, everything was going crazy, here we have Legend just sitting here dropping truth about unity and just the pull together. And, you know, right now on your Instagram, you're reposting a promo for your upcoming concert, which actually would have been yesterday by the time this released. So you're reposting that about every 30 minutes just to make sure people see it. And
yeah,
it's talking about getting rid of the word them. So I just want to sit here and talk a little bit about your music that came out this last year and just kind of getting past everything that we're overwhelmed with in 2020. And just getting to a better place in 2021 so we can all move forward. And
sure.
The reason I love talking to you about this is because half the time when I'm talking to you and we have conversations is I feel dumb or uneducated.
Stop. Like,
man, Legend just brings truth to this and a well-researched and a very godly perspective on a lot of what's going on around us. So
thank you, bro.
I'm not sure where we completely want to start, but well, you know what? Let's do this. Let's start with what's coming out, the getting rid of the word them. Talk to us a little bit about that and where your heart is coming from that.
Sure. That comes from this thought of corners, right? When I speak about this, I talk about corners. So if you think of a room, there are four corners in it and everybody's kind of in their own corner. And in your corner, there are people who look, think, and act like you. And there's nothing wrong with that. They vote the same sports team, same culture, same taste of music, whatever, right? There's a reason that there's a group of folks there, and that's okay. That's not a problem. We're naturally tribal. That's fine. But across the room in another corner, there's another group of people who look, think, and act away, vote away, have a different team, whatever you want to call it. They vote, you know, they're Republican, they're Lutheran. They believe that social justice is a problem. They think it's the media made it up, whatever. And the challenge isn't that your thoughts in your corner aren't real, aren't your experiences. It's not that they're inherently wrong. is that they're inherently incomplete without the other corner. The problem is we stand across the room and we point at them over there and we criticize them from across the room, when in reality, they have a piece of the puzzle that we actually need. We just have completely different worldviews and we filter everything differently. So one word on one side is understood to mean a certain thing, and on the other side, it's a trigger word. Social justice means, you know, equality for all. Over here, it means liberal anarchy and socialism and all that. Over here, the Confederate flag means heritage. Over here, it means hate. All of that type of stuff. Feel how you want to feel about it. We point to them over there and we say, those people are this. And I think that's wrong. I think you have to come to the middle of the room, exchange lenses, see how somebody else sees the world. You don't have to agree. You don't even have to understand. But if you don't have a relationship, then you just keep pointing to them over there and we don't get anywhere. We never build the house. We just stay in the corner. And that's kind of where that comes from. We got to eliminate them from our vocabulary and stop shouting at people from across the room. We really just got to go over there and get to know them. That's my heart behind that.
I think you touched a lot on it. Something that's been on my heart is I've been calling it a detox. Yeah, I've been coming away from media and watching everything scroll by. I mean, we've been so overloaded with everything this year. Mm-hmm. And that's put us into our corners. I'll use your mm-hmm. term there. I've called it camps. And it's sure, just pushed sure. us farther and farther into each one of those camps. And it's war between them a lot of times. You know, there's no mm-hmm. back and forth. With everything that's gone on, we've been pushed home and away from each other. And mm-hmm. we've been seeing nothing but media, whether it be social media or whatever it is. And I just feel like we've been pushed farther and farther into our corners. That yeah. perspective of coming to the middle has just taken the back seat.
Well, you know, we've never been in the middle anyway. Like, that's just not where we go naturally. It takes intentionality and a recognition that I'm not doing this and I need to. And it takes swimming against stream to go to the middle of the room. Because culturally, we're going to go where people look, think, and act like us. It's just what we do as human beings. And even with the media, like, it's true what you're saying. Like, the media has force-fed us, you know what I'm saying, crap. No matter what side of the sphere you're on, you like leftist crap or rightist crap. It doesn't matter. You're going to get it. But the problem is not the media. The problem is us. Because the media is only giving us the stuff we tell them we want to consume.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because we go to the media to receive the things they're giving us, which tells them to keep giving it to us. Yep. If everybody cut the TV off and stopped going on Facebook and stopped clicking like on certain things and stopped commenting certain ways, they wouldn't have anything to give us. This is what we want. So we allow ourselves to be led and manipulated because at the end of the day, it's what we want. So we have to cut off the channels. We have to stop putting these people in office. We got to stop voting for certain things in certain ways because everybody's only responding to what we tell them that we want. We have to say, you know what? You're a little too divisive. I'm not going to vote for you. I agree with your platform, but I don't want to keep encouraging the divide. So I'm not going to support you. I guarantee you that politician will change their tone. I guarantee you that news outlet will start to change. But we keep telling them it's okay, so they keep doing it. And that's that, because it's what we want.
See, this is why I love talking to you. You take what I'm thinking in my head and say it so much better than I do. And this is the part where I feel like so ineloquent. Because, yeah, I mean, it is us. Like, when I talk about my detox to whoever will listen to me, which isn't even my wife anymore, I don't think.
After quarantine, they'll do that.
Yeah. Or overdoing it. But that's, yeah. So as I talk about this detox, it's more about what I put into it. It's all about what I've invested in, what I've seen and all that. And so now that I've detoxed and just pulled away from a lot of that, it allows different perspectives, and that intentionality can be there with coming to the middle when you're not being pushed back into your corner. You take away that force, it's pushing yeah. you back into your corner. Then that intentionality yeah. can happen.
You got to stop letting it happen. I mean, it's top down, bro. You think about the train wreck that was the first presidential debate we had, right?
Oh, geez.
And it was absolute comedy. But like, him over there, it's really his fault. And then a bunch of finger pointing, right? And then, you know, it's like middle school girl fighting. It's like, you got all that going on. But then you jump down to the news outlets. Well, it's all the Democrats. And if it wasn't for them, and then the Republicans are the ones, and it's more middle school girls. But then you get down to us, the people that aren't doing that. And we're on social media doing the same thing, and then coffee shops doing the same. So we all do it, and we all want it because we want to feel like our team is the best, my corner is the best, and somebody else sucks. And we want to feel like we're the ones. And because we want to do that, we can't build the house. And I preached a sermon on this at a church. I was like, bro, like, Jesus literally promised us that a house divided will not stand. And despite that promise, we're very proud to only fit in half of the house. I'm left, I'm right. And Jesus literally promised collapse if that's what we do. And that's how we identify ourselves as left and right. How much did we really miss the gospel? That's funny to me.
So those of you who are listening here can't see this, but Legend used his Chick-fil-A cup just for emphasis. I'm not sure what the symbology behind that is.
But... I just picked it up because it was in front of me. I was about to take a sip. And then it just, there was no, I mean, hey, if somebody wants to give me a sponsorship, Chick-fil-A, I'm hollering. But
I thought it was going to go like to the Popeye chicken sandwich versus the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich.
That I mean, we could. Ago. That was literally a fight that happened. Was that 2020?
Who knows?
So many things went nuts. I still haven't had the Popeye chicken sandwich, if I'm dead honest with you. I need to have it, but I haven't tried it.
I don't think I've had either, so I'm completely neutral in this debate here.
You haven't had either? How?
I have no idea. I live under a rock, apparently.
You have to, bro. Like, there's no way you haven't had a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich at least. But I need to go to Popeye's now. I'm glad you said that. I'm going to do that.
Well, I'm also here in Texas, too. So there's now the In-N-Out and the Whataburger political divide here as well. So
true. True that. I can't remember which one I like better between those two.
Oh, it's an In-N-Out all day, every day. But
gotcha.
I'm sure that there's some people here in Texas that... Well, since I'm In-N-Out, I'm pretty sure that there will be people just at my front door with, I don't know, torch or something. It's going to be terrible for me that I said that, but.
You can't win, bro, but.
I'm in enemy territory.
Yeah, but go out full. Enjoy your sandwich and just take whatever comes with it.
Oh, man. Where did this come to Whataburger versus In-N-Out? We weren't talking about this a second ago.
I don't know. We're hungry, so.
No, except one of the things that really encouraged me throughout this last year, through 2020, is like I said, you had the, you know, the mixtapes that come out, and a lot of that came from that rally up in Norfolk.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, and the response and like the turnout was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. God was really faithful, man. We did a march in end of June in response to just the divide we see in the church, specifically speaking to Ahmaud Arbery's murder, Breonna Taylor's murder, and George Floyd's murder. We just felt like if the church doesn't understand justice and reconciliation, like I don't have any hope for anybody else to figure it out. And as we know, the church is very split and divided on some of it. So my pastor and I've been having conversations in our community for about 4 years, ever since out in Sterling, Philando Castile, and those nine Dallas officers were all murdered in the summer. We've been talking about it ever since, about the need for gospel-centered justice and reconciliation. So those, we built a lot of relationships and a lot of trust having so many conversations and being in front of that. So when we said, hey, we're doing a march, our partners who have been working with us, and Bishop Courtney McBath and all these people, like, it just came together in a week. Like, all that happened in 1 week that you saw. It was nuts. I never organized anything like that. But 100 plus churches responded, and 5,000 people showed up. And we marched through the city chanting Jesus and justice, Jesus and justice. And the beautiful part about it was you had Black Lives Matter folks there, All Lives Matter folks there, Blue Lives Matter folks there. And everybody was there together. The police chief spoke. You had people on all sides of the fence praying for police officers, laying hands on police officers, believing God to protect them and praying for justice, repenting of injustice. Like, I mean, it was just a beautiful, you had everybody all across the spectrum doing what the church is supposed to do. And I loved every minute of it. I've never seen anything like that. It was great. God really, really did something in my heart that day.
So how many people were there? It was like in the neighborhood. 5,000. Oh, I was going to say 20. So you should let me go first.
Yeah, I should let you say. 5,000 people showed up, man. So, yeah.
But that's still nothing to sneeze at for, you know, week's notice.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, as you're talking about that, the word whataboutism, and I'm not sure if that's a Merriam-Webster defined term yet, but if not, it's going to be quickly, I think. But... And one of the things that I've heard is, you know, well, this, but, well, that, but, or, you know, whatever it is. And just because there may be, you know, kind of going back to what we're talking about, media and what is being pushed with what we want to see, you know, all that, sometimes doesn't mean that there isn't anything happening, you know, and vice versa. Just because, you know, we see something happening here, you know, doesn't always mean that it's the biggest thing over here. I mean, there's just so much that I've seen in the church and what you're talking about, the unity, you know, before we all come together in the middle, that it just seems like that intellectual dishonesty about the whataboutism has just run rampant in you know, this last year.
Well, I think it's because we have to put our identity in what we identify with. We put our identity in that actual thing. So the whataboutism, like we're told that you have to pick between caring about abortion and caring about social justice. You can't do both. You got to pick. So if I fight for social justice, then I got to kind of fall away from caring about post-abortive women and preborn children. Or if I care about that, then I'm on the side. I got to be with my team where we actually can make some ground over here. So I can't focus on social justice because I got to do this one. So I got to pick. And then I've got to fall into the identity of, well, those folks over there, you know, they're going left. So everything that they think about is wrong. And the right side, they only care about the rich. So, I mean, it's just both can't be true. Like, why? Like, I don't understand. Where the Bible speaks to both of these very clearly, but you're making me pick which page of the Bible I'm going to read today. That's not healthy. So it's all about identity. Man, somebody asked me, it was like, what's one message you have for the church? If you could tell church one thing, what would it be? And my one message towards the church would be and is repent of political idolatry. We're polarized because we allow ourselves to bow down to the idol of politics and what those things tell us we can and can't do, what team we can and can't be on, who we can and can't be, and what we can and can't care about. And as long as that idol is erected in the worship of the one true God, we're going to completely miss who he called us to be. Like you said, that keeps us in the whataboutisms and identity stuff and all that.
Well, as you're talking about teams, I just got to say this. My wife and I were driving one day and we saw somebody go through with a bumper sticker. And I'm like, oh, well, may as well just replace that with a Houston Astros sticker. Because, I mean, that's all that bumper sticker is. We see another one, like, that's going to age well. Then we see another truck go by and there's another bumper sticker there. And, you know, it's like, well, may as well put a, you know, Dallas Cowboys sticker on that one because... Mm-hmm. You know, that's all these bumper stickers are. It's like, hey, I'm on XYZ I'm on this team.
Yes. That's it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when it's my team absolutely has everything and nobody else has anything to offer because not as idolatry involved, that's when it becomes a challenge. And that's the part of it that I ain't with that.
Yeah. You know, and just, you know, as examples, because, you know, I really don't want to dig into a lot of details and that because that's not where we're at with the podcast, but this is a little bit heavier of an episode than we normally do because,
oh, okay.
I mean, this is just legend and where your heart is and stuff. And I mean, it's just something that I've just really seen is that like what you're talking about, it's like, we can't say, for example, that social justice, we have some things that we need to look at, but that doesn't mean that we can't support cops and the job that they have to do as well. Right. We can have two different things true at the very same time. That's just the one example talking about the rally that you had in Norfolk and stuff. But I mean, there's been such a myriad of issues that have happened in 2020 that has been something that's been glaring, I think, between a lot of Christians this past year. We have a really unique spot right now where we can stand united, have a good message of hope, have a good message of understanding and all that. There are some people who are really doing that well. For the church as a whole, I mean, we have a really great moment to stand up and go forward with this at the moment. If we take it, that's the big thing.
Yeah, anything revolving around reconciliation should be somewhere the church shines. I mean, literally, reconciliation with God and man. Jesus said this is the whole point of all of this. And we don't get reconciliation man to man unless we get reconciliation God to man. If we genuinely believe the gospel about the God to man reconciliation, it should naturally flow to our man to man reconciliation. But something's broken in the man to man reconciliation piece, which causes me to question how much do we really understand the God to man reconciliation piece. And so that's the part that you really got to sit back and say, have we made Christ in our own image and why isn't the gospel working? The gospel is working. The gospel is perfect and beautiful and works. But if we're not getting the second half of the greatest commandment right, then something is broken with our understanding of the first part of that. Because it literally spills over into 2 Corinthians that now that this has happened, he's given you the ministry of reconciliation, right? Preaching the gospel, preaching Christ, reconciling God to man as if we were Christ's ambassadors, right? All of that stuff is there. Because if you reconcile God to man, then the natural outflow is fellow man made in his image, I now reconcile with. Not I point the finger at them across the room and say that a reason everything's bad. That's wrong. And the church shouldn't be doing that.
100%. So let's talk about the music side of that that's all come out. For a while there, we saw some of the Fear Not minutes that came through NRT here, which were, you know, was awesome there as well. But
thanks, bro. Working with Kevin, we branded something with that. So we'll have some stuff soon.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, talk about the music side of that and the artistry side of that that happened throughout everything this past year.
Once we did the March, man, I actually hit a little bit of a depression, even though it was successful. Just the weight of the conversation and just thinking through things personally and my own kids and all that. And I just went to the studio and just started creating. And that whole EP in this moment that we made about these topics, we made that in like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days. And it just was like, just wanted to get it off my chest. So we did that, man. And we had a song called Faces, just about all these situations that are going, don't turn away your faces from it. Don't find a way to duck, you know, put your head in the sand. We had a song up there called Cry, which was like lamenting what all this has cost us, all the lives that have been lost needlessly on all sides of the debate. It's just, you know, wasting time. Got a song called Feel, which is the most, the realest song on it. It's just like, this is how I feel talking to my kids about this stuff. And then one called Refuse to Pick, where it's like, I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat, I refuse to pick. Nothing inherently wrong with that, but just where we are, we've made that its own. We want to identify with that one. We want to identify with Christ. And I think that's inaccurate. What lines up with the gospel I support, what doesn't, I won't. Doesn't matter if it's red or blue, just period. So that's where the music came from. And then the other singles I dropped, I'm the Man, All the Way, and Iconic, are really focusing on pushing us towards just believing God is enough.
That's awesome. So as we're kind of winding down 2020, I was talking with my brother once, and it's like, oh, I'm really saying right now we're like in a crossfade between songs, like in church or wherever you're, the one song starting down and you're kind of starting the other one. There's that kind of thing in the middle where it kind of mixes. But now as we're moving into 2021 and we've seen everything that we've seen in 2020, what do you hope for, wish for the next year?
Man, I honestly hope the church figures out how to repent of political idolatry still. That's from a justice standpoint. That's my biggest hope, because a house divided can't stand. So we're not going to be effective at doing our job if we're divided. So I hope we figure that out, and I hope we repent of it, and I hope we make it right. And I'll keep talking about it. Musically, I'm dropping a single on the 22nd called Sometimes. I should be dropping something else in February. And I'm about to do an EP called Good Enough. And the idea is, I know what it's like for whatever reason to not feel good enough. My father's absent due to drugs and, you know, even these social issues we're talking about, like, do I matter as much as da-da-da-da? And I know what it's like to not feel like a good enough man, husband, artist, father, speaker. And so when 2020 happened, I actually started going through counseling to deal with the root of a lot of these issues. And understanding that God himself thought I was worth it and good enough to leave heaven to come to get me. And while I was even yet a sinner and running in the other direction, blaspheming him, he would still hit the cross on my behalf. So like, God thinks I'm good enough. He thinks I'm worth it. He thinks I'm worthy. Why would I argue with him if that's what he thinks? And where my goodness does fail, God's goodness is good enough for me. So I'm making an EP based around that. And I got a virtual concert series coming out about that, where we're going to also try to help people see the gospel as hope for even a lot of mental health challenges people are dealing with through COVID in 2020 and then not feeling good enough and all the stuff that's been going on. So my emphasis this year, man, is really just helping people see the gospel as hope practically through mental health and counseling stuff, and more deeper and foundationally that Christ says you're good enough for him. So believe him and trust him and turn to him.
So good.
Thanks, bro.
Mine for this next year is just perspective. I talk about this detox that I started not long ago, way too late in the game, but just the perspective is really where I'm pushing for this next year. Just, I'm really starting to see that a lot of the fruits of the Spirit are tied to our perspectives, you know, like peace, you know, where are we focusing? What's our perspective? Is our perspective on my team lost or won or whatever? We're not going to have peace if that's our perspective. You know, we're not going to love people if our perspective is they're on in the other corner. You know, if we have a perspective that they're a child of God, that they are created by him and loved by him just the same as I am, that love comes right behind that. You know, kindness and gentleness come behind the perspective of you and I have obviously lived very different lives. There's some things in common, but your opinions, what you see of the world is shaped by how you've grown up, how you've been raised, the life that you've lived. And I may disagree with you, but I have that perspective that you're different. You've grown up differently. You know, it's easier to be kind and gentle and all stuff. So some of these fruits of the spirit follow behind, you know, perspectives and stuff. And that's my big thing for this next year, is to just make sure that my perspectives align in a godly manner.
It's big, bro. I like that. That's dope.
I really have a good hope for this next year.
It's good, bro. Same here, man. Same here.
Well, man, this has been a little bit heavier of an episode than we normally run, because, but bro, it's so good. I mean, like I said, this is who Legend is, and this is your heart. And if you've stuck around this long, I really hope that you hear just the heart. Thank you for hanging out with us for a while, and looking forward to the virtual concert and the mixtapes coming out. Are they mixtapes or are they EPs? I've seen you say it both ways.
EPs.
Okay.
Yeah, they're EPs. But the EP is coming out, man. I don't know if I'm going to drop it in March or maybe in May, but it's coming soon.
Like I said, we just appreciate you hanging out with us for a while, man.
Same, bro. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.